We are in Simen Chaf Hei in Hilchas Tefillin, and up to Sif Yud Beis. The Mechaber says, "In Meniach Tefillin Kama Pamim Bayom." If you put Tefillin on several times throughout the course of the day, Sarach Levarach Aleim B'chol Pam. You've got to make a brach on them every time you put on the Tefillin. According to the Mechaber, every time you remove your Tefillin and then put them on again, that would require another bracha. A second halacha. Nishmatu mimkomam, umamash mishpem lachzirum limkomam, sarach levarech. They got moved out of place, and you push them back to where they belong, you'll have to make another bracha. Which bracha do you make? So here the Ramah adds, incidentally, that if it's on the shel yad, then you would have to make the bracha of lahaniach. If it's on the shel rosh, then the Ramah who holds that the shel rosh needs two brachas would tell you to say lahaniach and al mitzvos. Whereas the Mechaber who says that you only make one bracha on the shel rosh, you just say al mitzvos. So we have two cases so far. The first is you're putting tefillin on several times throughout the course of the day. The second case was your tefillin got moved out of place. In both of those cases, the Mechaber said to make a bracha each time you get your tefillin back. Now we have another case. Hiziza mimkoma madato lahachzira miyad. You move them out of place for the sake of pushing them right back, right afterwards. Tzorach levarech. The Mechaber shita is that you still have to make a bracha. In other words, the Mechaber shita is that each time you put tefillin on, or put tefillin on back where they belong, the halacha is that you make a new bracha, regardless of whether or not your intent was to go and put them on again immediately. Now the Ramah here argues, he says, v'yeshom shol levarech. Technically, he is referring only to this last case where you move them out of place with the kavanah of moving them back. The Mishnah Berurah says he would also be arguing with the first case, meaning you're putting tefillin on several times that day. If you were aware when you took your tefillin off that you're going to go and put them on again soon, then the Ramah would hold that you do not make a new bracha. So according to the Mechaber, whether you're putting on tefillin several times a day, whether they got moved out of place by accident, or you moved them out of place on your own, on purpose, and your kavanah in any of these cases was to put them on immediately afterwards, or to put them back in the right place immediately afterwards, you would still need a new bracha. The Ramah is arguing any time that you had kavanah to put them on soon afterwards, you would not need a new bracha. Whereas if they got moved out of place, the Ramah would be molded to the Mechaber, that since when they got moved out of place, you didn't move them with any kavanah. They got moved on their own. Someone else pushed them. You knocked into something and they got moved. Or they just slid off. So in such a case, we could not say that your kavanah was to put them on right away. You would have to make a new bracha. The Mishnah Berurah brings the Shlah, who says that during davening, it's as if we have this standing kavanah, always to put them back in place or put them back on right away. According to the Shlah, even if it got accidentally moved out of place, nevertheless, it's as if you had the kavanah to put them back, and according to the Ramah, you would not have to make another bracha, and the Mishnah Berurah comes out that way. The Mishnah Berurah follows the Shlah and says that during davening, even if your tefillin got moved out of place, you would not have to make another bracha. If you removed your tefillin with the kavanah of putting them on soon after, you would not have to make a new bracha. If you take off your tefillin with the kavanah of putting them on only a long time later, says the Mishnah Berurah, you would have to make a new bracha. One other case, the Mishnah Berurah brings up the case where someone removes his tefillin to go to the washroom. So he says to walk into a Beis HaKiseh with tefillin is usser. Therefore, when you removed your tefillin, it was not just because you felt like taking off your tefillin, but because you weren't allowed to wear them there. When you then put them on again, the Mishnah Berurah paskins that you would have to make another bracha. So that even though it was not a long time, since you could not have worn your tefillin in the washroom, the halacha is that when you put them on again, you have to make another one, another bracha. Now, what happens if someone puts tefillin on in the morning and has kavana? I am putting on my tefillin now, I'm going to remove them and put them on again. The Mishnah Berurah holds that even according to the Mechaber, who requires a new bracha every time you put on tefillin, according to him, you would still not have to make a new bracha when you put them on, because in the morning when you put them on, it's as if you made a separate bracha for each putting on of tefillin. That means your kavanah was, I'm going to put them on now and I'm going to put them on later, and I want the bracha to work for this and that. It's as if you made a bracha independently for each one of them. So if you had explicit kavanah at the time of the bracha, everybody would hold that the bracha works for both. It is only if you put your tefillin on with a bracha and then remove them with the kavanah of putting them on again that the Mechaber would say you need a new bracha and the Ramah not. This is the first set of halachas. The Mechaber then goes on and says, Mishamaniach tefillin shel yadu birach. Someone put on the tefillin shel yadu, made a bracha. Uvitchilas ahiduk. And before he finished tying them, before he finished putting the tefillin around his arm in a way that it stands there well, secure, nifsak ha-kesher shel yad. The kesher of the shel yad tore. V'utzrach lasos kesher achar. And he had to make a new one. Omnam lo hisiach dato. But he was not Masiach Das. He was still in the process of putting on his tefillin. Eino tzorech lachzer olavarech. He would not have to make a new bracha. So the Mechaber says that if it tore while you were in the process of putting on your tefillin, you would not have to make a new bracha. Whereas, according to the Mechaber, if it tore after you finished tightening the shel yad, only after that it tore, the halacha would be that you do have to make a new bracha. Now let's go a little further. The Mechaber then says, Im hutar shel yad kodem hanocha shel rosh, the kesher did not tear. However, the shel yad just got unraveled. In other words, your shel yad, your tefillin shel yad came off. And you have not yet put on the tefillin shel rosh. The Mechaber says, Ein tzorech la'asur levarech. You would not have to make another bracha. So if your tefillin got undone and you have not yet put on the tefillin shel rosh, since you're in the middle of putting on your tefillin, you haven't yet put on the shel rosh, and we know the bracha of laniach is necessary for the shel rosh as well, so even though your tefillin got undone, you would not have to make a new bracha. Whereas, avalim hiniach shel rosh v'achar kachut shel yad, mahadek umavarech. Whereas if after he put on the shel rosh, the shel yad got undone, there you would have to make a new bracha. Now, we already learned that according to the Ramah, if your kavana was to put it back on, then you would not have to make a new bracha. And the Shalah held that you have the standing kavana during davening that you constantly will want to put it back. Therefore, this halacha would not be true following the Shalah. We would say that based on the Shalah, even if your shel yad came off in the middle of davening, you can just put it back without making a new bracha. Back to the previous case in the Mechaber, where the tefillin tore. According to the Mechaber, if the tefillin tore while you were putting them on, you had not yet finished putting on the shel yad, they tore, there the halacha would be that you don't have to make another bracha. Whereas if you already finished tightening the shel yad, the tefillin tore, you would have to make a bracha. Which means that the Mechaber is differentiating between the kesher tearing and the tefillin just falling off, coming off your arm. If the kesher tears, you would have to make a new bracha unless you didn't complete tightening the shel yad. Once you're done tightening the shel yad, the Mechaber holds, if the kesher tears, you have to make a new bracha. If the tefillin only got undone, they came off your arm, there the halacha would be that so long as you haven't put on the shel rosh yet, you would not have to make a new bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah brings that the poskim argue with this, and they say that even in the case of the kesher getting torn, even in the case where the kesher got torn, the halacha would be that if that happened before you put on the shel rosh, even though you've already tightened the shel yad, you would not have to make a new bracha. So that if the kesher tears between putting on the shel yad and the shel rosh, you would not have to make a new bracha. It is not only while you were tightening the shel yad. The Mishnah Berurah has a question with regard to someone who decided to check his tefillin in the middle of wearing them. He actually undoes the sewing, opens them up, and checks the parashias. So he's taken out the parashias. There, even though it was in the middle of davening, and his kavana was to put him back, but his tefillin are no longer tefillin. In such a case, do we also say that the fact that you're not Masiach Das allows you to rely on the previous bracha, or do we say since your tefillin were not tefillin anymore, the previous bracha couldn't possibly work for them? So he leaves that one as a suffix. Then we go further. The Mechaber says, "Mutar levarach al tefillin sheulin velo al gezulin." You are allowed to make a bracha on borrowed tefillin, but not on stolen tefillin. Borrowed tefillin, unlike a talis, the halacha is that tefillin sheulim are a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Not only that, but we learned that if someone's not around and you see their tefillin, you can borrow their tefillin without permission, so long as you wind them up again and put them back just where you found them and how you found them. Because we say there's an umdana, that people would want others to use their tefillin to be makai in the mitzvah. Gzulim, stolen tefillin, one could not be yotza with that. One could not make a bracha with stolen tefillin. Not only that, but we find in the Mishnah Berurah that there are cases where the tefillin may be considered yours, and therefore it is not considered guzzle. On the other hand, it is not tefillin that you can make a bracha on. We had back in Hilchas Tzitzis that if someone steals an object belonging to another person, and the person has not yet given up on it, he has not been misyayish. So the halacha there is, even if it changes hands 30 times, if the owner was not misyayish, it still belongs to him. And the halacha is that anyone that is holding on to it is holding an object that is not theirs, and it is therefore stolen. The only exception would be if one affects a shinui gomur. So we learned there, if he bleaches wool, if he goes and affects a major physical change in it, which is called shinui maisa, he does a shinui maisa, something that affects a major change in it. There we would say this is not the stolen object, it is something new. You owe the money, but the object is a different object, and it is not considered the property of the person from whom it was stolen. In a case where we had a shinui hashem or a shinui rishus, which means that there is a change in the object, not one that is a drastic one, or there's a change of possession. The person who stole it went and gave it or sold it to another person. So it depends. If the owner was nisyayish, if he gave up hope before it changed, the halacha is that yush with the shinui rishus would work. Whereas, if he only was nisyayish after it got into the hand of the second person, then it would not work. What happens if the person was nisyayish and then the person who stole it went and gave it to another person? The person who now received it after Yush is Kona. It is his. It is no longer someone else's object in his hands. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Brewery here says that he could not make a bracha on it. The reason? By his taking it, by his accepting it into his Rishus, he is causing for the owner to lose ownership. Therefore, he couldn't make a bracha on it. He was the one that made the owner lose possession. Whereas, what if someone stole it, the owner gave up, then it passed hands, it went to someone else. He couldn't make a bracha on it. He gave it to a third person. That person could make a bracha on it. According to the Mishnah Brura, since it is his, and he is not the one that caused it to leave the possession of the original owner, the halacha is that he is not only yotze tefillin, but he can even make a bracha on those tefillin.